The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
They swore a pact to the devil. They said, "We will serve you if you'll get us free from the French." The devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And they kicked the French out. But ever since, they have been cursed by one thing after the other.
You're dealing with a God who, judicially speaking, is a little crazy. This is like night court. He's just going and dismissing cases left and right.
What role does faith play in your life right now?
It's everything. It's everything. I mean, I grew up as a preacher's son. My father was a preacher for 50 years. Calling myself a God-fearing man, I got to read this book.
I guess you could say I got a little out of control. I dropped 400 grand on a bar mitzvah for my son. He's nine! And we're Lutherans!
When I think about Fridays, think about sitting here in this studio for one last day of the week, reviewing all that has come before and looking forward to all that lies ahead, spending time with two of my favorite people in the world. There are people more favorite than you, Craig. Yes, as favorite as you are in my heart, there are people more favorite than you. That would be my family, but next to my family, perhaps two most favorite people in the world, at least to work with. I don't socialize with them at all. I wouldn't even eat lunch with Craig today. He invited me, but I wouldn't go. He was kind enough to bring me something back, though, so I could remain holed up in the studio, working hard, of course, in preparation for the show. And I look forward to listening to your email, your communiques from wherever you listen, and perhaps even a comment or two from the Issues Etc. comment line. That's how we kick off every Friday afternoon. Listener email. And a little bit later in the program, we will play Soundbite of the Week. Last week, it was Soundbite of the Year. We're back to Soundbite of the Week. We got four great soundbites lined up for you. We'll pick Issues Etc. blog of the week. We'll talk with Ken Samples about the movie Avatar. My daughter saw it yesterday. She's no fan of science fiction and very difficult to impress. She said it was awesome. She'd see it again the next day. Pastor Matt Harrison will bring us an update on earthquake relief efforts in Haiti a little bit later. And as I said, we'll play Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. By the way, those three things, the phone number, the email address, and our Twitter address, all work very well for voting for Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-MYIE, talkback@IssuesETC.org, or Twitter us at @IssuesETC. Before we get started on email, I got a question. It's purely a matter of opinion. There's no thus saith the Lord here, but I wanted to poll the staff. If you had to make your choice between Jay Leno or Conan O'Brien, you may not have to make that choice, but if you had to make your choice between those two, the two guys sitting out there, Jeff and Craig, who would it be? Who would you choose?
I picked Andy Strickland.
Andy Strickland?
Yeah.
You mean Andy Richter?
Richter.
Yeah, Andy Richter.
Yeah.
You can tell he doesn't watch Conan.
I don't watch TV.
Jeff is in bed by 8:30 with his covers pulled up over his head and his laptop snuggled in next to him. Craig?
I think Jay's for an older audience, so I would watch Conan.
You'd watch Conan if you had to make the choice between the two. You notice I didn't put Letterman in there.
What about the Lopez guy? Doesn't he have a show now?
I don't know. Craig Ferguson is hilarious, but he's on so late. It's almost impossible to watch, but he's hilarious. Have you ever seen Craig Ferguson?
Is he like the English-speaking accent guy?
He's actually Scottish, I believe, but yes. Yeah, one of those ishes over there in the old world, yes. He's one of those.
Oh, I love him. Love him. Can't miss a show.
Okay, yeah.
Haven't missed a show ever. Ever.
That's right. You know what I love about Craig Ferguson? He has puppets. Sock puppets. That's one of the best things about it. But if I had the choice, it would be Conan hands down. I'm actually disturbed. You remember when Tim Russert died? I actually felt a pang of of angst at the death of this great journalist and a guy that I idolized on television for so long. And I'm feeling that way again about the whole Conan ordeal. I really am. It's just, it's got me all tied up in knots.
You know, we had that staff meeting this morning. People should know that we're looking at 2010 and beyond. And each year at this time, Pastor Wilkin really wants to begin some kind of issues, et cetera, puppet ministry. And we have to pull the reins back on him. It's not in the budget. Money's not there. But maybe somebody might want to earmark something for Pastor Wilkin's puppet ministry.
You have no idea that there actually is some puppet ministry in my past. And
I'm
ashamed to admit to it.
Is that that video you gave me? Does that have puppets on it?
No, that was
Brent Coolman and you guys were in seminary.
No, that was me all by myself. Having drank too much beer. No, this was in my days when I was also doing praise band things. And so along with all those childish things go the childish things. I love puppets for kids. If you're doing VBS, you can't beat a puppet. And I like puppets on television almost as much as I like monkeys smoking cigars. But for serious adult ministry, puppets should probably be left, you know, somewhere else. There's nothing wrong with puppets.
I don't know what to say.
I've actually made and manipulated a number of puppets in my day.
Oh, I believe that.
And there is video somewhere.
Are they puppets or voodoo dolls? Which one are they?
No voodoo.
Have you ever used the puppets as a voodoo, like putting some pins
can't
in
say
needles?
I can't say that I haven't been tempted to do it. But there's actually video someplace, my parish pastor days, of some VBS stuff, opening VBS with me having serious conversations with puppets. And I think it's great with kids. I think it's absolutely great with kids. I've written the scripts. I've done the voices. Everything for kids. See, there's we just remember that when we're children, we think like children, we reason like children, and children are able to receive things at a certain level. But by the time you're about 10 or 11, it's time to put childish things away. Would that the church would learn this, but so far, not so much. Okay, so now that I've pulled you for your Conan versus Leno.
And I voted for Andy Strickland. Does Andy Strickland exist?
Richter.
Am I getting confused? I was watching an NBA game last night, and there's a player named Strickland.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how I got Strickland, but I do like the chubby Andy guy that we put in the open theme there.
He's hilarious.
He's funny. I think he needs his own show.
I think that's going too far, but I think you're right. I mean, he is a great wingman. There's no two ways about it.
All right.
Kind of like you, Jeff.
Yeah, right. But I don't like puppets. Do you still like me, even though I don't like puppets?
Do they scare you?
Yes,
is that
they
what
do
it is?
Scare me.
Really?
Okay, they do. Truth be told, I'm scared of puppets.
So this is why he won't send his kids to VBS. It's because of the puppets. All right. You mean like the sock puppet? If I put buttons on
sock
a sock puppet?
Yeah, those are the worst. Yeah,
clowns?
Those are the worst. What's that?
I know Craig is terrified of clowns, but are you clowns? Do they get to you?
You know what scares me the most? I was watching on YouTube over Christmas, and my kids were like peering over Chucky. You know, the redheaded little Chucky.
Why were you watching that?
I don't know. I for some reason I was. I know it was the Monday Night Football announced John Gruden, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers coach, on Monday Night Football, and they always talk about he looked like Chucky. I said, well, let me look at Chucky. I haven't looked at Chucky in a while, and I looked at it. I was like, oh my goodness, my poor kids. Now all they do is talk about Chucky, Chucky. And Beth, we have like a couple of Christmas trees. She has this one like angel on the top.
Looks like Chucky.
Looks just like Chucky.
Yeah, we grew up with one of those. Creepiest little angel in the world.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. She won't get it. It's like a family heirloom or something. It's like, come on. The Chucky angel has to go this Christmas tide.
You expect it to come bounding off the top of the tree with the shard of broken ornaments in its hand ready to cut your throat. Yeah, I know exactly. I grew up with that angel. A creepy little baby angel on top of the... I can see it in my mind's eye right now.
It's a Christmas mood killer.
Yeah, it is.
All right, Jeff in Alexandria, Minnesota. Just listened to Pastor Park's show this week on baptism. Very good. I was told when I was an evangelical that the verses that teach that baptism saves is that those verses are not talking about water baptism. Rather, they are talking about spirit baptism, more than one baptism, you know. The Reformed Christians that I used to listen to got around the verses you mentioned on the show, told me, More than one baptism, those verses are not talking about water baptism, but spirit baptism, the moment that you were saved. Next time you talk about baptism, can you answer this objection? Thanks for listening, Jeff in Alexandria, Minnesota.
Oh, we really should have answered it in the course of that conversation. I promise you we will answer that question the next time we have somebody on to talk about baptism. In the meantime, I think the problem with injecting a second baptism into Holy Scripture is, number one, Scripture doesn't teach it. Number two, Scripture explicitly teaches against it. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. Now, if you say one Lord, one faith, two baptisms, you're running afoul of that verse. Paul seems to know what he's talking about when it comes to baptism. He always speaks of it as a singular event, and he never speaks about a spiritual baptism. He will talk about spiritual all sorts of things, but not a spiritual baptism. Nowhere in Scripture is an alleged spiritual baptism laid up against a mere water baptism. In fact, water baptism is a spiritual baptism. They're one in the same. Again, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. If you start saying one Lord, one faith, two baptisms, then why not say two Lords, two faiths, two baptisms? Because the parallelism there is really strict. Two Lords, two faiths, two baptisms, two gods. I mean, why are you allowed to add another baptism but not another Lord? So let's stick with the one baptism, perfectly good, that Scripture gives us. See, what it shows is when you deny one part of Scripture, it forces you to deny other parts of Scripture. And pretty soon you're denying so many Scriptures individually that you have no place to stand. We're going through some email on this Friday afternoon. It's January the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc. We'll go through some more email on the other side of the break. Issues, Etc. blog of the week comes up later in this hour. In the second hour, Pastor Matt Harrison will join us to get an update on earthquake in Haiti relief. We'll review the movie Avatar, and we'll play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at IssuesETC. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Have you heard of the CLCC, the Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission? We're deeply involved in providing seminars to build up Christ's church with education and training for the laity. So far, we've held seminars on confessional topics at churches in Minnesota, Utah, Oregon, and Washington, and planning is underway to hold seminars in several other states coast to coast. Visit theclcc.org. Check us out. Get on the mailing list, or better yet, join us. See how your church can host a seminar, too. Go to theclcc.org.
The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference, because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Friday afternoon. We're going through email. A little bit later, blog of the week. I had a hard time picking blog of the week. Number one, because I left it till the last minute, almost literally till the last minute. I still don't know if Jeff has one picked. Of course, he has the luxury of, while I'm in here talking, surfing around, reading blogs and picking one. I had a hard time choosing between two of them. One of them I finally landed upon, but I want to mention the one that didn't make the cut. It's actually on Brothers of John the Steadfast. It was just posted this afternoon, and it's a picture. Have you seen this, Jeff?
No, I haven't.
It's a picture of the good Pastor Matt Harrison petting a kitten. It's a lovely picture. You should go there right now.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
On my Facebook page. I found this this morning.
You know what? I don't think I'm a fan of yours on Facebook, am I?
You mean a fan of Issues Etc.?
No, or like a friend of yours, whatever the terminology.
I don't think I've ever seen you.
I don't get stuff from you.
No, you're not one of my friends.
I'm sorry.
I think I have about 1,800 plus, but you're not one of them.
I think I have about 18 friends.
We must have mutual friends.
I don't have many
friends. But I don't think I've ever seen you on there.
I have nothing on there. I have absolutely nothing.
No, there is a page on Facebook dedicated to you.
I know there is, but I don't think I've put anything on it. Who am I? How old am I? And you know, that kind of stuff.
If you wanted to know what didn't make the cut, you can go to Brothers of John the Steadfast. There's a picture there of Pastor Matt Harrison, and there's a link to my Facebook page and the Issues Etc. fan page as well. And the amusing thing is not only the picture is very touching. I mean, here he is looking down, petting a little kitten. And then the comments that are made afterwards are probably what the most entertaining thing about it. But that didn't make the cut for me. I'll tell you what did make the cut here in about 30 minutes here on Issues Etc.
I apologize for not bringing my A game to listener email today. I did not have time to proofread these out loud in advance. These guys make fun of me. This is why I'm a producer and not a host. So I apologize. I'm never very good at this, but today I'm brutally bad.
Yeah, he's just a trained journalist, but he has a hard time reading. So,
that's right. Here's Mike in Vancouver, Washington. He writes, Todd, I have a question for you. Being in the Pacific Northwest, it is a much different world living here than living in the Midwest. Finding a traditional worship service at a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation was very difficult. We honestly went to 4 of 5 local congregations before we found one here in Vancouver. Now, after almost a year there, they have started doing something that I don't think passes the smell test. During communion, the pastor speaks the words of invocation, and then a woman assists in distribution behind the communion rail. Is it wrong? Am I making a mountain out of a molehill? If it's wrong, where do I go? What do I go to get what I need to explain the error and understand it more fully? Thanks for listening in the great state of Washington, Mike.
I would not say it's wrong. I would say it is profoundly confusing. The reason I won't say it's wrong is because I don't think we can point to a clear passage of Scripture that would explicitly forbid such a thing. But this is an example of something that is extremely, and I use the word carefully, extremely imprudent. There are things that are not explicitly forbidden by Scripture that are still profoundly unwise. And I think that the participation of women in those things given to the pastoral office, namely the preaching of the word, reading of the word publicly, and service of the sacrament, while we cannot point to a scripture that says we do not do this, we can point to scriptures that say, St. Paul saying, I do not allow a woman to exercise authority over a man in the context of the pastoral office and elsewhere. And, you know, call me old-fashioned. I don't think it's old-fashioned. I just think it's simply biblical to say that those things touching upon the pastoral office ought to be carried out by either the pastor or by those who, authorized men who have been found qualified by the congregation to do so. And when I say it is extremely imprudent and confusing, it is. Because there's no doubt that Scripture that says that men and then only some men are qualified to hold the office of Christ in the church. Why would we want to confuse things? I think this is born out of a spirit of rebellion that wants to push the envelope as far as it can go and doesn't really care whether or not the average person is confused or not about what Scripture teaches regarding the pastoral office. I can't think of any other reason unless you have a congregation of only women, in which case, hey, knock yourself out. I can't think of another reason why one would do this except to either intentionally cause confusion or to act out of a spirit of rebellion against what Scripture does clearly teach about the pastoral office. The Lord's Supper isn't something to be trifled with. And more importantly, the hearts of the faithful and the minds of the faithful are not something to be toyed with. This is why the church has traditionally not experimented in worship, because the minds and hearts of the people are not something we play with. Their faith is not something we trifle with. And in the same way, while it may not be wrong for a woman to serve communion under the authority of a pastor, it certainly confuses, I think, the average person about what Scripture does clearly teach about the pastoral office. Now, this may be something you can just clear up by having a conversation with the pastor. Or you may, sad to say, you may have a situation here where the pastor or others in the congregation are simply determined, again, as I say, in a spirit of rebellion, to, if they're not going to openly thumb their nose at God's word and what it teaches about the pastoral office, they will do everything they can to give the impression that they're openly thumbing their nose at it. Now, these are two different situations, and if someone can be corrected here, glory be to God. If someone won't be corrected here, then you know what you're dealing with in that congregation. You know that you're dealing with people who do not have the courage to openly violate God's word, and so they do everything they can to give the impression that they are and rebel against it without actually crossing the line. I think there's very little difference, although there may be a distinction.
What do you think of Ron from Twin Cities' take on this? He says, "We do this at my church, something I've spoken repeatedly against about women assisting in communion, and this is why Ron thinks it's wrong. They speak the words of forgiveness as they hand it out. This, in my mind, is speaking Christ's words to us, and thus is part of the office of the Holy Ministry. Women are not able to hold this office. Am I wrong?" writes Ron in the Twin Cities.
Well, I think Ron has touched upon something very, very important. Congregation where I serve, if I'm not mistaken, I don't think I am, elders in the congregation, men in the congregation, will often assist in the distribution of communion. They don't really need to, but it does help the distribution go a little more smoothly, and it does help the distribution go more quickly. And not that we should be in a hurry about these things. In fact, we try and do it in such a way so that we're not in a hurry. We don't hurry through important things. But if I'm not mistaken, the elders, the male elders who assist with communion, do not speak the words that are often associated with the distribution of communion. That's left to the pastor. So, my senior pastor, Pastor Cum, if he's presiding, he will take the host and he will distribute the host with the words, "Take and eat, this is the body of Jesus given for you." And then the elder will follow with the individual cup. Yes, gasp, gasp, we use individual cups. With a clear conscience, by the way. But the elder will distribute this without saying anything, and then I will follow with the chalice. And as I pass with the chalice, I will say the words given associated with the distribution, "Take and eat," or "Take and drink the blood of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins." Because the speaking of those words is a pastoral prerogative. It's a pastoral, it's something done with pastoral authority, as is the distribution of the sacrament. And so I think you're talking about here kind of a further either failure to understand what Scripture teaches about the pastoral office or rebellion against what Scripture teaches with the pastoral office. That speaking of that word, people say, "Well, we have women read the Bible in church all the time." I know you do. But you really shouldn't. And it's not because they're women. It's because Christ's office is Christ's office. It's not ours. And if he says it is given to men and then only some men, then we are not in a position to question him. And there are things given to the pastoral office. One of them, the public reading of Scripture. I'm not saying women can't read the Bible, but the public reading of Scripture in that pastoral sense is given for pastors to do. It's one of the specific things Paul tells young Timothy to attend to until Paul returns, the public reading of Scripture. So, there you go.
Quick email from Philip. "I'm listening to your program yesterday on decision theology with great interest. My wife was raised an evangelical. She agonized over baptism for two reasons. One, she didn't think that she had done enough to warrant salvation, which she desperately desired. And two, she was required to go into living water. The Bitter Root River is very cold, even in summer, and she was scared of going into Flathead Lake. Both are in western Montana. When she understood that God does the work in baptism, she became a Lutheran zealot. She still cries when she remembers the work she put into her baptism. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Philip.
Wow, I'm very glad to hear that she has left the burdensome misunderstanding of baptism behind. Notice how it goes, because it's never really good enough. If it is your work, it's never good enough. And so you always got to do better, try harder, try it again kind of a thing. Either people are rebaptized again and again, or they're very careful about in what manner. It's got to be by immersion, in moving water, all of those kind of things. Now, there's nothing wrong with that mode of baptism. And one might even say in the early church, it was a preferred mode, but it certainly was not a required mode of baptism. But see, that's all of the same cloth, isn't it? If baptism is man's work, then man has to make sure he gets it just right. Perfect, one might say, in order to please God. But if baptism, and it is in fact God's work, God always gets it right every time. We'll be right back with more email.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Most everyone loves dolphins. Even those of us who aren't so politically correct probably have a soft spot in our hearts for them. Scientists are taking their love for these animals a little too far. They say dolphins are so intelligent, they are considered cultural animals, and they shouldn't be killed, period. Thomas White, professor of ethics at Loyola University in Los Angeles, says the high intelligence of dolphins means they are non-human persons who qualify for moral standing as individuals. He means dolphins deserve the same rights as humans. Unless you're an unborn human. Eggs of a bald eagle have more protection than a human unborn baby. Now, if others get their way, preborn children will be forced to sit at the back of the human rights bus behind several animal species.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. What are you guys doing out there?
We can't talk about it on the air.
All right. I just totally tune you guys out when I don't have to pay attention to you.
That's but a wise
I, even I could hear that in here, whatever you two were doing. Were you arm wrestling? Were you testing Craig's new muscular build now that he's been
pumping iron? He is buffed, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he's always been just a mountain of a man ready to crush anything that stands in his way, but now even more so that he's pumping iron. What were you guys doing out there? Which of you did I hear scream? That's what I want to know. Okay.
It was me.
Figures.
It was me.
Figures.
Hey, you know what I was thinking? I bet there are thousands of our listeners. We're in the middle of basketball season, and I've given no report about Edwardsville Frozen Foods or Randy Moore Repair Service, two teams my oldest son Justin used to play for. And I bet they're just dying to wonder, what happened? I mean, has the kid given up basketball? Well, Justin tried out for an AAU basketball team and made the team, and they travel all over the area. And since that's actually a good team, they don't allow me to coach it. It's above my pay grade. So I don't coach Justin anymore. All right? But poor Emily. I'm coaching this year Emily, my fourth grader's basketball team. And I already told her, don't even think about crying. Don't even think about crying. I said, look, I'm going to be harder on you than I am the other girls because you're my daughter. All right? And they're going to think I'm like, you know, cutting you some slack. But don't even cry in the middle of practice. You want to cry, you get home, that's okay. But don't even cry. AAU is Amateur Athletic Union. You play basketball games all over the country, basically. So that's the update. But Emily's team will not have a name because it's for the YMCA, so she's like the Heather Gray team. They don't have sponsors since it's YMCA.
So why is it Heather Gray? What's that about?
Well, we didn't get – it's the color. That's the color of your team.
You mean
– So go Heather Gray.
I thought Heather Gray was a person.
No, Heather Gray is some kind of color, I think, yeah.
Heather Gray.
Yeah. I think that's Craig's great room is painted Heather Gray, if I recall
correctly.
It's
one of those Martha Stewart colors, I believe.
At the Craig Love Shack in Troy, Illinois. The bachelor pad where ESPN is on 24/7, along with the Fox News channel.
Your voice is dripping with envy. I can hear it.
Yeah. I've told them before, we live vicariously through Craig, you know?
Yeah, I'll admit to it.
I mean, we're just losers. You know, but look at Craig.
I'll admit to that.
His best days are ahead of him.
Oh man, he's not in the prime of his life. He is just beginning the prime of his life.
Yes.
It's I mean, I'm just all the Twitter for just excitement for what lies ahead for Craig.
Me too. I think about it daily.
Daily? I mean, for me it's
even more than that.
It just occupies my mind constantly. What else is there to think about?
Well, how about some email?
All right.
All right. This is Sally. My friend, who is a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, is just now realizing that something very wrong is taking place in her synod. Her congregation is now dealing with the issue of calling gay pastors. A majority of the older members, who I believe still hold traditional Lutheran beliefs and are unaware of what is being taught in their seminaries, are very vocal about their wishes. Because of this, their pastor is taking every opportunity to publicly put them on the spot or embarrass them. During their last church service, she point blank asked one member in front of the congregation, "Do you believe that Jesus was present when God created the earth?" Aside from trying to move the congregation to critical thinking, what do you feel is the point she was trying to make, and what would have been the best answer to her question? And she concludes, "My daughter turned me on to your show a couple of years ago. Love it, and thank you, Sally, for the email."
Yeah, thank you, Sally. What was behind her question? Well, I don't know the motivation. I suspect, given that a question in that context, it was probably intended to belittle the person. It's ironic that a pastor S apparently thinks that it would belittle a Christian to answer in the affirmative, "Was Jesus there when God created the earth?" I mean, any Christian can say yes, because the Bible teaches that it was through Christ that all things were made. To think that was it a catechism question? Was Christ there at the creation of the world? It could well have been a catechism question, but I seriously doubt in the context of an Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregation, where they're apparently trying to cover up from the notice of the lay people what's going on in the greater church body. I don't know why you'd do that unless you're up to something nefarious, that a pastoress would inquire this way publicly of one of her parishioners. Except she thinks that she can somehow belittle her parishioner by getting them to answer yes or stunning them into silence. What should the answer have been? Yes, I believe that Christ was present when God created the world because the Bible teaches it in many places. And besides that, Christ is the second person of the Trinity. I think the Trinity was involved in the creation too. And it might have gotten chuckles from the congregation. You might have been ridiculed for believing such old-fashioned things, but you would have the comfort of knowing that you were standing faithful in the face of that ridicule.
Joe in Plymouth, Minnesota writes, "Would you help me? I'm still verifying it, but I am suspicious that my pastor may have racial issues. Our denomination is not Lutheran. I like the guy, and I don't have holdups about starting the conversation, but he's just in the wrong city if that's the way he sees people. What should I do? These days, racism is harder to spot. People are learning to be guarded about their words, but it doesn't mean the feelings are not there. I know it is a bad spot for him to be, but I don't know how to help. I mean, easy advice is for a problem, go to the council, but what if they just respond by talking me out of what I've seen and heard? Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening. Joe in Plymouth, Minnesota.
Go first to the pastor and be humble and honest and ask the pastor, this is what I've heard, this is what I've seen, this is what I think I'm seeing. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me your thoughts. You have every right to ask your pastor for his thoughts on this. This is not private politics. Racism is a sin. And you have every right to ask your pastor if he indulges that sin, even if only in the privacy of his thoughts. And if he can clear it up by saying, no, I think you've misunderstood me, that is great. And if he tells you, yes, this is how I think about it, then you have the responsibility, individually first, and if that works, all the better, to tell your pastor that racism is a sin, that to harbor prejudice or hatred or contempt for people because of they are of a different skin color, nationality, ethnicity, whatever it may be, is wrong. There is no distinction in Christ. And then I just am tempted to begin reading from Matthew chapter 18. If he hears you, then you've won your brother. And if he doesn't, then take two or three others with you so that everything may be confirmed by the mouths of two or three witnesses. And if you will not hear them, then tell it to the church. And if he will not hear the church, then let him be to you as a, this is hard stuff, but this is what Christ says we do about sin. Then let him be to you as a tax collector or a pagan. I have a strong suspicion, and I certainly hope that I'm right, that you've misunderstood your pastor, or that he has been imprudent with his words and did not mean to give the impression that he gave. That's my best advice.
Sean in North Dakota, just wanted to express my appreciation for the fantastic programming lately. You always have done a great job of offering up rich theology. Just seems that as of late, you've outdone yourselves. For example, shows on baptism, justification, decision, theology, etc. Mucho gracias. Is that gracias? I haven't heard that term.
Read it like it's spelled.
Mucho gracias.
Does it have a T in there?
No, G-R-A-C. It used to be a popular thing. Like, that's
gracias.
Gracias.
Yes.
So it's like an S.
It's like
mucho gracias. I took German instead of Spanish. Now, how dumb was that, by the way? You know?
Yeah, you were really looking toward the future there, weren't you?
Yeah, quite the forward-thinking chap, wasn't I? Mucho gracias for the great education. Education, Sean in North Dakota. I apologize. You guys write such great email, and I butcher it. I apologize. Maybe Craig should just do this job.
So, okay. I know what you were doing. I was going to ask you, what were you doing before the show that kept you from reading your email and practicing your email? You were lining up a great guest for Monday's program on Martin Luther King Day.
That Craig had the idea.
Yeah, Craig had the idea.
Yeah,
we'll be talking to Alveda King, the niece of the slain civil rights leader, on Monday on the program.
Yeah.
Thanks to the fact that Jeff was neglecting his email and staying on the phone and doing what he needed to do, doing his job.
Thanks for covering me, Wilkie.
Hey.
I appreciate that. You got my back.
Now, if you wouldn't have procured the King interview, I might have been writing a letter of reprimand or something like that. I don't even know if we have any of those in the file.
You would have to give him a letter and put it in his permanent LPR file, yeah.
Yeah, we got to start one of those LPR. They had those at KFUO when we were working there.
I got threatened by the FM program director, the atheist guy upstairs.
You did?
It's like, yeah. He's like, and I'm putting it in your file, buddy.
I almost got reprimanded.
I'm putting your file, buddy. What is that? I mean, come on. It was like something from The Office. I mean, come on. That's so lame. I'm putting it in your file, buddy. I think it's pal. Putting your file, pal. It's like, lighten up, Francis.
I got threatened with lots of reprimands. I got threatened with a reprimand once because, do you remember when this happened? I had inadvertently scheduled a traveling date, a speaking date, over the 3-day charathon, the fundraising thing that they used to do at KFUO, and I was going to have to miss one day. and the program director was steamed. I mean, he was steamed about this.
Well, he did warn you not to do anything, didn't he?
Well, I just he didn't put out the dates until after I'd scheduled the speaking date. So I said, look, I guess I'm going to have to cancel this thing. I called the guy and I said, look, I got to cancel it. And the guy called the program director back and said, you can't cancel Wilkin. We can't find anyone to replace him on such short notice. And so I was told by the program director to go to the speaking date anyway, but that he threatened that I should be reprimanded anyway. And I said, go ahead, reprimand me. But he didn't. So we could have had that whole thing over with so much earlier had he just reprimanded me, put it in my file. But there you go. All right, we'll be right back. A little more email, and then you'll find out what our blog picks of the week this week are.
Believe it came from you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kieschnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes in this hour. A little more email, and then we'll pick the blog pick of the week. In the second hour of the program, Ken Samples will join us to talk about the movie Avatar. We'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, and Pastor Matt Harrison, pastor, theologian, friend to cats, will join us to talk about earthquake relief. Yeah, yes, as well. He'll join us to talk about earthquake relief in Haiti. The job there is enormous.
Do you think they still have our personnel files at the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Oh, I'm certain they do. I'm certain they do. I mean, they've thrown everything else related to Issues Etc. in the past away, but I'm certain they've kept the personnel files.
Right. We're probably in that the up in the third floor with the secret vault, like confessional Lutheran outlaws.
Yeah, where they keep
files.
The bones of Walter A. Meyer and all those things.
All right. No, people, I don't think anybody would understand that joke, Craigie. It's funny, though. James in Naperville, Illinois. Thanks for the Herald Camping Predicts the End segment. He always sounds so sincere and has a lovely voice, and he's scary. And thank you, James, for listening.
He does have an amazing voice. I mean, just in terms of resonance and the I don't even know what to call it. There's a musicality to Harold Camping's voice that is so old radio and so amazing. I can understand why people are captivated by a guy like who has that kind of a voice, even though he does mostly utter blasphemy and heresy.
I heard he's big into puppets.
Really?
Yeah, loves puppets.
I'll have to reconsider.
I heard he's got an Armageddon skit that's to die for. It's going to Broadway, from what I understand. Harold Camping, Puppets, Broadway. Armageddon, 2011.
You know, I think Puppets on Broadway is an idea that's long overdue.
What happened to the Muppets? I mean, were they sufficient for you? I mean, weren't sock-like.
No, they were
you,
just,
they?
They're too sophisticated. I'm a very unsophisticated person. When it gets too complicated and too polished, I lose interest. And I like the cruder the puppet, the better. And, you just hold up a stick with eyes on it. That makes me happy. I'm amused by the simplicity of those things. You all right?
I can't turn my mic on. Okay. Let's see. What are we going to go to? How about this one? This is in regards to your interview earlier this week with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse talking about Ted Olson, who's filing the part of the legal team that's challenging Prop 8, the same-sex marriage ban in California. Ted Olson said, quote, "Some people who love each other can get married and some others can't," end quote. And Mike in New Mexico writes, "Might as well claim that some people who like to eat spaghetti together can get married and some can't. Whether people love each other is irrelevant to whether two people can get married. Thanks for the email, Mike in New Mexico."
And he's quite right. The law does not regulate or even have any interest in love. And that's not said to be harsh. It's just said because justice is blind even to things like love. And the law ought to be blind to these things as well, so we can have equal justice under the law. But the argument is specious because it is not for love's sake that society recognizes a legal entity that is marriage. It is for the good of society's sake that society recognizes the institution of marriage legally, not for the sake of love. And people who love the same sex can marry. They just can't marry the same sex in most states. They can marry. They have the same right that heterosexuals have to marry, according to what remains in most places, the legal definition of marriage, one man, one woman. So, oh, by the way, one of our sound bites for the week, this week, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse responds to this argument to several others. You want to stay tuned and listen to all those sound bites and play Soundbite of the Week with us coming up a little bit later on the program in hour two.
Time for one more. Michael in Illinois, "I was just listening on demand to your January 7th Pastor's Roundtable discussion on the doctrine of justification. As I was listening to the discussion about how many look upon works of the law for justification, I was puttering around the office getting a few other things done. I absentmindedly started humming a tune, a song which came to my subconscious while listening to the pastors. When I realized what song I was humming, I had to laugh at the irony. It was a song that I had learned many, many, many years ago while in Boy Scouts, a song that is quite law-oriented. Here's some of the words from the song, the lyrics. Softly falls the light of day as our campfire fades away. Silently each scout should ask, have I done my daily task? Have I kept my honor bright? Can I guiltless sleep tonight? Have I done and have I dared everything to be prepared?"
You know, you're right?
It's a lovely, soothing melody, a variation of O Tannenbaum, leaving off a few notes going into a couple of the phrases. But now, as I am older, the drone of the law, and the lyrics grates on my ears. Thy works, not mine, O Christ. Thanks for listening in Illinois, Michael.
Well, you know, the Boy Scouts do a lot of good things. But like every one of these man-made institutions, they generally tend into this kind of sanctimonious, it's essentially kind of the old version of civil religion, public virtue and things like that. If you don't make it your religion and you take it as and you take the drum beating, the beating that you'll get from the law, from the Boy Scouts or any of these other civic organizations, hear it for what it is and then make sure you have it answered in what is not a man-made institution, the church, with the forgiveness of sins, then you could probably survive. And if you don't pay any attention to the prayers to the wolf god in the back of the Cub Scout manual, and you don't pray to Kayla the wolf god, you'll probably do pretty well okay. Keep it to tying knots, helping little old ladies across the street, and pitching a tent, and it'll be pretty good.